The River 105.9, ESPN Radio, and Country 92.5, and Tito's Handmade Vodka have quite the night to party with you. And it's all for a great cause. Join us at Mohegan Sun Saturday the 17th as we raise money for the United Way. We'll kick off the fundraising at 3 with ESPN Radio's Dibble Show live at Jordan Sports Cafe. Followed by a night with Mike Del Judas and Big Shot live in the Wolf Den Arena. Then we head over to Comics Roadhouse with Country 92.5. Best of all, it's free. Break out that ugly sweater and rock it proud, because we'll be searching for who's wearing one and hook you up with great prizes like Wine Fest tickets, concert tickets, game tickets, and more. The Wolf Den opens at 6:30. Show starts at 8, but get there early because there's even more to win. The first 50 people get free commemorative holiday Tito's Handmade Vodka sweaters. How sweet is that? Help us support the United Way. Saturday the 17th at Mohegan Sun. Special thanks to charitable sponsor Tito's Handmade Vodka. 80 proof Tito's Handmade Vodka. Distilled and bottled in Austin, Texas. Crafted to be savored responsibly.
I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show at CBS Audio Network. I'm very pleased to be speaking with Henry Trix, who is in Great Britain. He works for The Economist magazine. He has helped me understand the generations of businessmen, businesswomen, people who make decisions for private corporations and politics and epochs. And right now we're back to the 21st century. Henry, Atlanta is an example of activism. That's the word that's used, generally speaking, of CEOs, even entering into a conversation in Zoom, because it is the pandemic, during the Masters golf tournament weekend to discuss a letter that was eventually published, seen as nonpartisan, in support of voting rights. However, I mention that only because it's one example of CEOs acting, corporate CEOs acting in political atmospheres. You at Economist also mentioned Jamie Dimon, who speaks out on a number of political matters and has been prominent really for a long time, but certainly since the Great Recession of 2009, 2010, when he was prominently in conversation with then-President Barack Obama. And also you mentioned the Business Roundtable, making political observations all the time, although it's put in terms of where's the market going. Are those positive examples of CEOs, and does that encourage this transformation again? It's not just shareholders, it's also the atmosphere of the company.
I don't think that we see this as uniformly positive. Let me be very clear here that that The Economist has no doubt about the importance of supporting voting rights. And so when we saw what was being done both in Georgia and across various states in America, there was certainly a sense that that it's important to ensure that there is easy access to voting and that voting rights are respected. The worry here is really one of concentration of power. It's the fact that business leaders are unelected. They do tend to serve their own interests, and they pretty much always lobby for their own advantage. So the risk is that by becoming too involved in politics, they not only undermine their own businesses because their concentration is directed towards other causes, but they also potentially undermine the political process. We think that it's really up to politicians to be regulating businesses, it's for politicians to be underpinning the market so that businesses operate fairly. And we worry that when businesses get too involved in politics, that the exchange becomes somewhat lopsided. And so what we've seen, I suppose, over the course of the last 15 or 20 years, but especially in the last 5 years, is this move towards CEO activism, which has stretched from very social issues to issues that are around gender, race, and ultimately politics. I think it was really the entry of Donald Trump into the presidency that kick-started the political engagement of CEOs. You'll all remember at the very beginning of 2017, after Mr. Trump imposed a ban on immigration from some Muslim countries, that many CEOs began to speak out about that and speak out against those sort of curbs. And then we saw, as the Trump presidency progressed, more examples over things like immigration and the Charlottesville protests as well were another time when CEOs came out and made pretty public statements of opposition to the way that the government was acting at the time. And it's easy to feel that all of those episodes were worthy of any public figure raising their voice. But the danger with businessmen playing this role is that inevitably breeds charges of hypocrisy. And it's also very difficult to measure how effective it is. So it runs the risk of being grandstanding with not necessarily a very substantial impact.
I believe that you've raised a caveat in the Economist magazine that it's difficult to separate the statement from self-interest by the speaker and by the company. And that means that it's in the eye of the beholder. There's also the concern that you've raised that afterwards, that you say hypocrisy. You do business here, but you don't do business there. I'm thinking of China in particular these days, but there's always going to be some place you're doing business that's unattractive or unacceptable. And so CEOs cannot possibly solve the world as we have it now because of the paradoxes of where you do business.
Yes, I think that's that to me is one of the most telling examples, that we have companies that are making a very public statement about voting rights in America, but that continue to do business in a wholly anti-democratic country like China. And we're not saying that they shouldn't do business in China. We're just saying that they should consider and calibrate their message. Because it does sound like they're speaking out of both sides of their mouths. So that certainly is an issue. There's another issue here, though, which is not just hypocrisy. It's also the question of who benefits and who gets hurt by these pronouncements. Obviously, we're living in an era where there's a lot of attention through social media on everything that goes on within a company, especially within a big company whose brands we know well. It's almost as if social media has sort of erased the walls that surrounded the company. And that encourages companies to speak out because they feel that perhaps their customers and perhaps their employees will want them to take a stance on issues, will want them to actually represent a particular social stance in order to enhance the brand or in order to recruit more workers. The trouble is that the evidence on this is very mixed. The evidence on the impact of this is very mixed. As we know, customers are obviously going to be both Democrats and Republicans. What appeals to one side may put off the other
right,
side.
Right.
And what's interesting from some surveys we've seen is that And actually, you tend to remember more a position by a CEO that you disagree with, and that tends to put you off that company's products rather than you embracing a company's product because you agree with what the CEO says. That's one example, I guess, of the unintended consequences, if you like, of this activism.
Henry Trix of The Economist magazine, we're observing the transformation of the CEO over decades, over centuries in America. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network.
Bellator MMA returns to the Windy City Friday, November 18th. Reigning champion Vadim Nemkov battles Illinois Zone number one ranked Corey Anderson in the $1 million light heavyweight world grand prix final. And lightweight top dog Patricky Pitbull defends his belt against number one ranked undefeated Usman Nurmagomedov. Don't miss two world title fights Friday, November 18th at Wintrust Arena. For tickets, go to Ticketmaster.com.
It's that time of year again. People struggling to find the right gifts. As the spirit of winning snowman, I'm under a lot of pressure. Just the other day, some guy tried to buy his mom an old cookbook. I hustled over and gave him scratch tickets from the Connecticut Lottery. They're a great gift for spreading holiday cheer. Don't people go online for recipes these days? Oh, there's someone trying to get a scented candle. I'll be back.
In the spirit of winning, give the gift of the Connecticut Lottery. Please play responsibly. Odds vary by and during games. Must be 18 or older to purchase. Lottery tickets are not suitable gifts for children under 18 years of age. CTLottery.org.